Oh, well. Recording.
Cool. Yeah. Let's go.
I'm eating apples in it. All right.
You introduce her.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Are we good?
Yep.
I'm going to have to like move away from the mic and that. Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Jimson and Roscoe show. With Costa over there.
But is it episode one or is it episode two? Because the other one was the pilot. So that's that class is episode one?
Yeah, we'll call that 00.
And this one will be 001.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I like that. So this is our first guest ever. She's an international DJ warmed up for the likes of Neo, her, and the internet. She hosts a Throwback Thursday on Summer Valley FM. She's had multiple guest mixes on Capital, One Extra, Kiss, Represent. She's been playing all around the world. Canada, Marbella, Ibiza, Greece, Mars, one of Saturn's moons. It's Rach K.
Hey. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, all right. It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you both.
Safe.
So, do you want to ask some questions, Jim? Or do you want to get into that? Really, what we should have done, which we'll do on the next one, is we'll talk for like 5 minutes and then introduce the guest.
Yeah.
Somehow.
I mean, do you want me to leave and come back?
No, I'll be
right. You're right. You're here now.
Yeah, it'll be fine. How's your day been anyway, Rach?
Yeah, good. I'm having a rest day today. It's been a bit of a busy week. Back to DJing.
So you were saying before this, though, because you work, so you were saying you work full-time as well, innit?
Yeah, literally. So I work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Have done the whole time.
Yeah.
And then we went back to DJing, was it last Thursday? So I was DJing Thursday, Friday, recording radio Saturday, and then recording mixes. So it's been a bit hectic.
Do you, are you like a calendar ninja, or are you like wing it?
Depends. What it depends.
You're a calendar ninja, mate.
Well, Roscoe will know about this, right? He asks me for my right. We've got like a DJ WhatsApp group where we have our availability. He asked us for our availability, so I wrote out my availability literally Friday, Saturday, Friday, Saturday. I got rinsed by everyone in that group, man. Everyone. But the funny thing is, I'm the only girl in that group, and I'm the organised one. They're all forgetting their sets.
That's true.
I'm that never forgetting mine. You
know, like, I've known him since the age of 4 or 5, and he's always been the same.
Honestly, they were all rinsing me.
Yeah.
And I never forget mine. I'm always on time. All the others.
That's the truth.
Madness.
Do you know what? I think there's something said about being a calendar ninja. Because, like, it's, do you mean, it's to have everything there and your phone, like now, to use, like, utilize a phone, how a phone should be used, like, ping, right, I should be doing this now, ping, I should be doing this now, and you just take the thinking out of it, like, because I'm juggling multiple projects, and I know what it's like yourself, it's just like, oh, and when, if I haven't got that written down, or that pinging to me, I'll sit down and it's like,
do you know what's
what am I supposed to be doing? Do you mean anything, just like, just do something that you're not supposed to be doing?
Do you know what's mad? I never use my phone, like, to remind me to do things. I always have to have it written down. Like, I've literally have it. Yeah. So I've literally got, like, a bit of paper stuck everywhere with what I need to do for that week. Literally everywhere.
Like, what's that film called? With Christian Bale.
The Machinist.
Yeah. Hopefully not like that.
It's a good film.
Not quite, mate.
It's a wicked film, man.
No.
Oh, you should watch it. It's a great film.
It is a good film.
But he uses, like, post-its to remind himself what he's... Oh, it's mad.
Yeah,
it's
watch it. Yeah, film. Rather than let's get on that rabbit
hole. Gonna watch that.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so what I was gonna talk about, because I'm really underprepared for this one, but yeah, I just wanted to talk about where you think radio is going. And do you think radio will be a thing in, say, 5-10 years' time? With, like, for example, like Spotify with playlisted. Remember, like, back in the day, like, you'd have radio pluggers.
Yeah.
So you'd go in, like, you now you've got the new Payola, which is Spotify, and it's like a minefield. Do you produce music as well?
No. I mean, I'd love to. Not sure I've got time currently.
Yeah. Well, with that, it's like, because now, like, you know, you probably know, it's like everyone, like, trying to get on playlists, and the guys who have the big playlists now, the curators, they're like, it's like you message them.
Do they make money from it?
Yes, and like they're saying now, like you message them saying like, can I get on your page? It's like, yeah, £12 admin fee.
Oh, really?
Oh, right.
And you kind of got to filter it out. You got to filter it out to be like, okay, is this one that's getting bots? Is this like, and so if you message when they say, yep, yeah, we'll put you in the top spot for this money, it's like, yeah, nah, like avoid. But if this one is like, send it, we'll listen to it. If we like it, we'll put it in. And this is how much you want to pay. But they're all asking for money. And it's just like, it's,
wow.
Well, not all, most, like, you know what I mean? And it's a mindful. But I remember like them saying, like, that's what radios were like back in the day.
Yeah.
And how they get around it is they're saying, you're not paying them for, to go on radio. Because paying to go on radio is illegal.
Yeah.
Spotify or Apple, or whatever, again, it's against your terms and conditions to pay to go directly on a playlist.
Right.
So what you're doing, you're paying them for their time to listen to it,
their or exposure,
give you a review on it,
yeah,
or to be considered or whatever. You're not actually paying to go on it because that's illegal,
like an admin fee, like,
yeah, but like looking at it, do you think this will push out radio in years to come, or like where do you see radio going?
It's hard, isn't it, because like from a DJ perspective, like we all work really hard to get our music, our mixes especially, on radio. Like most DJs you speak to will be like, yeah, I want to get on Capital Extra, I want to get on One Extra. But on the flip side of that, it is like everyone that I know would, out of choice, probably turn on Spotify rather than a radio show, because you've got your own choice of music then, do you know what I mean? Like, like I love listening to One Extra and Capital Extra and things because I can hear new music that they're playing out. But actually, if you're at like a party with your mates or you're chilling or whatever, you want to choose your own music, really, don't you? And you know what kind of music you're into. And because they generate all these playlists for you, almost, it's like your own personal radio show. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can literally...
the algorithms are good.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I can play one song on Spotify and every track afterwards will be a banger that I love because they've, like, taken into consideration what I'm listening to. So I think it's going to be tough times ahead for radio. And I do think... I think some of the... more kind of commercial radio, like Heart FM and things like that, they're kind of like standard traditional, like Radio 1, traditional radio, innit? And you've got like a broad, like, audience. But those more specific radio stations, I think they could struggle a little bit because people are gonna, people like their own taste, innit? And if they're not hearing that, then they're gonna go elsewhere.
But do you also think though, with like, because traditional radio is like an age thing?
Oh,
like,
completely.
Yeah, that's what I
completely.
It's like you'd like, and there was something I read interesting over there, and they were saying like how like the generation, anyone between like 85 and 95 are like kind of like the most interesting generation because you're born young enough to know the traditions of the generations before you, but then we've grown through like this technological like revolution. And then like the generation after are like they've got no traditions they want. Do you mean it's like now it's like we can do what we want when we want, and it's like kind of like this bridge in between. So like the generations before are like all like radio,
right?
And we've got like kind of like a bit of both, innit? Like after, it's like
what is there?
Yeah,
because that's the other thing as well, is like growing up, if you wanted to listen to new music, you'd be sat there, the Swing Shift on Galaxy, Westwood, and you'd be sat there with the tape waiting for the tunes to play, record it.
For sure.
Oh, fuck's sake, Westwood, be quiet, stop shouting over everything, press record again. You'd go to a club, you'd hear new music, you never hear it anywhere else. But now people have got access to new music
24/7,
yeah,
literally
all over the place. TikTok, like all of these different avenues that you can hear new music. I haven't listened, the only radio station I actually listen to is Classic FM. That's it. And that's when my phone is dead in the car. I think that's the only time I really listen to radio, which is a shame, because it used to be like, it used to be the like, yeah, that's where you get the new music from. You know, it's changed.
But even now, innit, like even the cars have moved on. So like before, you could only get radio. Now I can plug my phone in and have my Spotify and my Apple Music. But so again, it's up to me if I want to be listening to my own music or if I want to listen to the radio. Like again, that's kind of move. And I think the radio stations do have to keep up with that. and not necessarily all of them will do that.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have to be creative with it.
Yeah.
If they want to stay kind of relevant, they're going to have to be creative with it. Mm.
I think the one extra and the things that they do, when you add video in the mix, I think that's how they stay in it.
I think also, like, the BBC, though, they put on events.
Yeah.
You've got shows. Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's that extra bit to it. But like you were saying, the ones that are smaller and it's just the radio, it's like... Yeah.
How do you maintain that?
I mean, the music industry in general, it just changes. The one industry that just changes so
rapidly. All the time. Yeah. So like, week in, week out, it's changing, isn't it?
I mean, especially for, like, artists now, it's like, you don't... Your music... Where before it was like, you'd run ads and stuff to sell your music. Now, it's like, it's flipped on its head. You will have to be doing something else. It's like, your music... You're now using your music to advertise yourself, to monetize something else elsewhere. Yeah, it's interesting. So how do you find that then with finding tunes now for you to play out? Where are you going now? Where everything's so accessible to everyone at any time. Like, is there... Do you find it tough to, like, find exclusives?
Yeah, it can be. And, like, some of the music pools that I use, especially over lockdown, I've been quite, like, slack with the music. So, like, I'm finding that a lot of the music isn't on there. Like, even, like, the bangers that you would expect them to have is not on there.
Mm.
But I guess, like, the mainstream stuff that I would use for club nights and stuff is quite easy to access.
Yeah.
But social media as well, like, people message and email and, like, send their music over, like, a lot. Yeah. Once they hear that you've been on, like, national radio, like, I was on Capital Extra yesterday, and from that, my inbox was just full of people like, can you play my tune? Can you play this? Can you listen to that? So, like, and if I like it, I will put it in a mix and I'll put it out there.
Yeah, nice.
So, like, and I think that's, like, I really enjoy doing that. I know not all DJs do, but, like, if I listen to a song and I think, yeah, you've smashed that, like, that's sick, you deserve to get out there, then I'll put it out there. But, yeah, it's just... and it takes time. I think that's the thing. Like, it's not something that you could just sit down and be like, oh, I've got an hour to spare, like, I'm going to find some tunes. Like, it takes time. Like, to find decent music is a graft.
Mm.
But I'm quite lucky because a lot of the kind of work that I do with DJing is quite, like, mainstream in the sense that the mixes I'm doing have to be, like, radio edits and stuff like that. So that... I'm quite lucky in that sense, but I do like finding a hidden gem that I can play out.
Yeah. Are you risk averse with that then? So you'll just be like, yeah, let's, like, throw this. Because I got the mate, Reflex, he's a techno DJ, and I said to him once, I said, could you just, like, drop something, like, really random? He's like, nah, not really. Like, not in, like, certain places or certain venues. Like, techno, like, if it's, like, proper, like, techno. Yeah. I was like, could you not just, like, drop, like, a remix of, like, some, I don't know, just fucking somewhere way out there, like, which is borderline just not techno. Are you risk averse in your sets to, like, just...
I don't know, Roscoe, am I allowed? No, I'm joking.
You can do whatever you want.
Like, no, I think it does depend on the venue, like, that I'm playing. In mixes, yeah, I like to be risky with it, and, like, I put a guy from Bristol in my mix for Capital Extra, and it was a bit risky because it was like I was doing a mix with like AJ Tracy, like mainstream people, and then I whacked this guy in from Bristol. But I thought, you know what? He supported me enough, and I want to I want to be able to get people out there. Like, it's hard getting your music heard.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like, and if I've got an opportunity to do that, then I'm going to do that. And if they turn around and say, "Why have you done that?" I'll be like, "Well, cut it out if you want to, but that's what I want to put in my mix." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's amazing that that people are doing that, because it is, like you say, the hardest part about being an artist is getting
yourself out there. Something
to fucking listen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, I'm here. Oh, what did I see the other day? My mate Bryce, he put a thing up, and it was like, did I show you it? The dick pic thing. So it was like, it was funny. It was like basically like comparing, like, showing someone a dick pic to, like, trying to get someone to listen to your music. But yeah, do you mean, it was like, it's just like, come here, look. Do you mean, like, what have I got to do to get you to listen? Just listen.
I mean, do not send dick pics, especially to a female DJ. That is not the way forward. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
that is not the way to go.
There's no way to get it on my set.
Absolutely not.
That kind of goes into the next kind of question. If you're happy to move on from there, Jims.
Yeah, man.
So, being a lady in a predominantly male-dominated field, like, what sort of obstacles do you face? And does it, like, work to your advantage? Or do you feel that you have to work harder than the man them to get noticed as a DJ?
I feel, personally, I feel like I've had to work really hard. And that is... I've had a lot of experiences of, like, I'll get messages, and it sounds awful, but a lot of the time from, like, London promoters that want a female DJ that is going to be wearing a dress and heels and have that kind of image, and that is not me. Like, I am not, like...
You're about the music.
I am all about the music, and I'm like a tomboy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not dressing up in heels or whatever to go and DJ. Like, if you want that, that's cool. And there's girls out there that do want to DJ like that, and that's absolutely fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, and if that's the way they want to go, then cool. But I do it because I love the music, and I think when your mindset is like that, it's very difficult. It can be really difficult to get yourself out there. Like, the amount of festival lineups I have seen that are just male dominated.
And it's festivals, like, are bad, man, when you look at the lineup. Yeah, there's no women on that.
No, and it's literally like, why? Like, and I've had people say to me, like, oh, you're actually like a decent DJ, and I'm like,
why wouldn't I be?
Do you know what I mean, though? But it's actually so jarring, because, like, we put so much work in, and we do work really hard, and we practice the skill, like. And it's like, why does that come as a shock to you? Like, just because I'm not a male DJ, like, that should not come as a shock.
Do you think that's rather than them, like, it's more of a reflection of, like, there's not enough? Is it because there's not enough doing it?
Yeah.
Or is it because there's not enough opportunity?
I think there's more, like, girls out there now. Mm. Like, I've got a load of, like, female DJ mates across the country now, and when I first started DJing, there wasn't that many at all. Like, it was hard to come across other girls that were, like, doing the same.
Yeah.
But now I think there's a real push for, like, female DJs to get themselves out there, and I think it's slowly getting to where it needs to be.
Yeah.
But, like, the people still experience all the comments, like, oh, you should be wearing this, or if I book you, can you look a certain way? And it's like, like, come on, like, you wouldn't say that to a man, do you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't say to a male DJ, oh, can you come wearing, like, some smart shoes and, like
butler
what?
In the bath,
like, do you know what I mean? Like, you just wouldn't do that, so why are you telling me what I can and can't wear? And
I mean, I think there's a difference between a theme tonight and then you being like, you have to look a certain way, because it's a gimmick. It was who was the first person that I seen pretending to DJ? Paris Hilton.
Oh, damn.
I think she was the first one, and I was like, seeing how much she was getting paid for that booking.
What it's did she do? Mad. She just kind she's of a really stood good behind DJ. The decks.
Yeah,
she's a really good DJ. She is a DJ.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton is a DJ, is she?
Yeah, she's a DJ. Oh.
I think there was a television channel somewhere in Romania that had, like, a guest DJ on. And you could see the back of the desk, there wasn't a single table plugged in. And he's there just...
Who was that?
I don't know, but it was somewhere...
What's the guy, the one who, the producer, and they always took the piss out of him because they said that he didn't do
David
it.
Guetta.
David Guetta. Yeah.
Literally, I've seen him, like, where was it? Maybe like V-Fest or something like that. And I was just like, you are getting paid so much money to just stand there and pretend, like...
Hey!
It's just like mad. Hustling hard.
Hustling hard. But
it's like DJ Khaled, isn't it? It's like, what does he do?
No, I get it. I get the Khaled thing. I understand.
What does he do?
He curates music, puts people together, and forms relationships.
He should start a Spotify playlist.
He's probably got one.
We do the best. Like, blatantly, has got one. But yeah, that's what he does, isn't it?
So what is it? Is he a label? Because to me, it's like, I don't know.
He used to be a DJ and a producer, and I think he was a
rapper. He actually was a DJ at one point.
Yeah. Right. He can DJ. He's sick. But then he used to do production and that, but I don't know what he does. Pretty much now, he just puts people together.
Brings them together.
So he'll be like, that person and that person are hard. That'll be sick on a beat by this.
So he's like an innovator.
Yeah. He, like,
in a way.
like a networker. Like
he's like Steve together. Jobs of in the music world, because that was kind of what Steve Jobs was, wasn't it? He wasn't really an inventor. He was just kind of like, I like what you're doing there. That could work on that, and he could like a visionary.
Yeah, that.
Yeah,
he's that. But yeah, he's funny. He's a funny guy. But yeah, back to the thing. So like, yeah, what have you had any other like problems where, like I said earlier, with that article I read the other day, where the headline was nothing compares to the buzz of mixing tracks and the oneness I feel with the crowd, but as a woman I've had to invent a male manager to be treated fairly. Like, is it that deep? And like, have you ever had to do things like that to be treated fairly? Like,
I feel like it can be that deep for some, especially if you're like high up. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're like really well known, I feel like it can be. I'm really lucky. Like, obviously, being around Bath, Bristol, like everyone I work with is like, they're just G's. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're cool. They're just like, yeah, Rach, do your thing. Like, carry on. When I go to London, initially it was a bit like, oh, you're a female DJ, like. And sometimes they would like pay me less and things like that.
Right, okay.
But I think as time's gone on, it's definitely improved.
Mm.
I think the main thing is just like when you're playing out and people come up to you and make inappropriate comments, like
from the audience perspective. Yeah,
sure. And it's like where do you get off talking to someone like that? Do you know what I mean? Like, and if a girl said that to a guy, it probably wouldn't be perceived like that. So it's things like that are really jarring.
Yeah.
And they do still happen.
Yeah.
But I'm quite fortunate in the sense that, like, obviously I work with you guys at the club. Yeah. Like, there's no way anyone turn around and be like, oh, you're a girl. Like, you can't work with us.
Yeah, no, like, I find all that stuff weird. Like, it's like the rate thing.
Yeah.
That was like, she was saying that she was getting paid 40% less than male DJs. I was like, how?
Do you know what I mean?
All DJs just get paid the same, don't they? Surely. Your time is your time. And obviously, I understand, like, if you're a massive DJ, you get paid more, but, like...
But if you're doing the same thing...
Yeah, we're all doing the same thing.
We're all on the same level.
The same rate, like...
Yeah. It was really interesting. Tiffany Calver tweeted something, I think, or maybe it was on Instagram, and she said that she wants female DJs to stop calling themselves female DJs.
Did you notice that I didn't call you a female DJ?
Yeah, and just call just yourself a DJ because it doesn't matter whether you're a girl or a guy. Like, it's you're a DJ
based on your skill set.
Yeah, and I held on to that because I was like, actually, she's got a point. Like, I'm not gonna call myself a female DJ because I'm just a DJ. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter if I'm a girl or a guy or whatever. It doesn't matter what I'm wearing. It doesn't as long as I'm doing what I'm doing and I'm doing it well. That's all that matters. Like,
100%.
I was listening to is it Vandana Shiva? It's Vandana Shiva, isn't it?
And
she was talking about identity politics. But she was talking about it as like how identity politics has gone wrong. And identity politics initially should just be, I'm a farmer, I'm a DJ, and this, and it's like the whole way that it's gone out of control of like, we adding all these things. It's like, I am a female farmer DJ type. I mean, it's like adding all these extra things on. It's like, no, it's just like,
no, I'm just a DJ.
The complicated. That was interesting what she was saying, because she was talking about India and before the colonialism, how the places there, like, that's what they were, and like how it was like based on small trade and things in the village, and how it was all
It's mad, but I do think it's getting better. Like, the more girls that are getting themselves out there and giving it a go with DJing, it is improving. I think we just need to keep at it, really. There's a few more girl DJs around the Bath and Bristol area now which is sick.
I'm doing a set with Paloma. Do you know Paloma?
No, I don't. When you mentioned her, I was like, don't know her.
I should ask her DJ name. But yeah, she's we're doing a set with her in a couple. She's very much on like sort of like the grind.
Oh, sick.
Drill type thing.
Sick.
And it's really nice to meet other females that are into music. Do you know what I mean? Because then you can talk about these kind of things and share experiences and like, and any opportunities as well. Like, if I had a gig that I couldn't do, I'd like give it to. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's cool. So
yeah, I find it's like the whole networking thing, isn't it? It's like networking in real life just like blows networking online out of the water.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you're trying to reach out to people online, it's just like you may as well send them a dick pic because it's just that off-putting. Like when someone sends you a DM on Instagram, like, hey, like, do you mean like whatever they're trying to get you collab? It's like, do you want to like buy some promo packages? Like, oh man, like you just gone about everything the wrong way. Like
literally
spark up conversations where in real life those conversations can be a lot more organic and you like don't even have to talk about that initially. You just talk about shit and then it's like, oh yeah. And like the friendship is built before. And I think online that's just like, it's so hard because people just go in too soon. It's like, oh, so like, do you know what I mean? They might give like one nice comment and then it's like, by the way, listen to my music.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Do you know what's the worst thing? I've had it a few times where people will just send me, like, they'll actually email me. There'll be no subject in the title and it will just be a link. It don't even say, like, just on its own.
Oh my God.
Like, and I'm literally like, you don't even say, like, hey, Rach, how are you? Like, I looked into your show last week. Like, at least like gas me up a little bit, do you know what I mean? Like, or at least acknowledge that you actually know who I am and you're not literally like just copying and pasting.
I heard your show on such or I heard your mix on such and such.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, even if they didn't, just like do a little bit of research and know that I was on there at that time and pretend a little bit.
100%.
Like, do you mean? Like, yeah, no, it is. It's like people are lazy.
People move mad though to get their music heard. Like,
what, do they still do that now, or was this like 10 years ago?
No, this was like last week.
Oh.
I'm not even joking.
Like, you moved on from there, man.
No, literally get sent links. Like,
it's like them clonefluence, like people on Instagram and that. Yeah. It's like a DM now. It's like, why?
No, no, what am I DMing you for?
I'm good. But it's like, I find is if you use certain hashtags, like if you use like indie hip hop or something, it's like boom, they're following
on you.
They're following those like sort of like independent like musician DJ type hashtags, and if you put them on your post, that's it. They're fucking on you,
like swarmed.
Yeah, they are. But like the ones where you get the clothing ones, well, it's like fucking. It's like, yeah, hey, great picture. Like, DM us now for a collab. It's like, collab for what?
You're still gonna make me pay for the clothes. You just want,
Oh, no, there's a lot of them as well, like the record label ones, like the contract ones, like it's fucking shady, like, because I'm in a music marketing group called DKMBA, and in there, like, you get, like, people posting, like, hey, do you think this is legit? And there's a lot of, like, coming up in the group. And some of them, you look in, and it's, like, a contract, and they're, like, we'll give you this, 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 and it all looks legit. And then, like, you look at the bit at the bottom, it's, like, and then you have to pay an upfront fee of this, but it'll all be given back to you. And it's like, you mean, it's like, how many people like pay the upfront fee? Like, do you know what I mean?
It's
like,
just bare people. Robbed. Yeah, it's mad.
Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I get sent music and it really gets to me when people don't say please. I'm like, just have some manners, man. Like, just don't send me a thing saying, listen to this. Like, do you know what I mean? Just have a bit of like
decorum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be a nice person.
Yeah, like, I think that's the that's right at the moment with everything that I'm looking at or watching or whatever. And it all comes back to just be a good person.
Do you know what I mean? No,
like,
it's not
everything
hard.
Else around you in life, because everyone's like, rather than like trying to fight the system and all this sort of stuff, it's like, no. Just be a good person. Be a good person to the media people around you. Have a good set of morals around the people around you. That will ripple outwards. You'll attract the same sort of people. And that's all you really need to do in life. It's like, we just fucking complicate things so much. I mean, it's, just be a good person. Please, thank you.
Just be a nice person. Yeah.
Do you mind pulling up your pop shit a little bit? Just pulling that thing up a little bit. Yeah, you're going over the top of it. Yeah.
Plosives. Like.
How are we doing for time?
I don't know.
Well, I didn't set the alarm this time.
It's 6:33, and I think we started at like just after 7.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think. I mean, I've got a chicken in the oven, so.
Wait, 30 minutes.
You've got a chicken in the oven.
Halfway through.
Halfway through.
Cool.
Cool, man.
Rah. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah,
it does. Do you know what I did one the other night? I got invited on someone else's podcast and I was there and I was like, oh, I thought I'd been talking for 10 minutes. He's like, yeah, we're going to wrap it up. I was like, how long was that? He's like, 1 hour and 40 minutes. Like, fucking hell.
Mad.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you're talking about something you're passionate about as well, innit? Like, you just get lost in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like anything music related.
Well, I watched the video back and now my fucking hands are going all over the place. I was like, oh yeah, I was into it.
Proper into it.
So how do you start DJing then? Did you like, because that was the other thing that, but I read a few different articles from female DJs and like they were saying that there's a lack of females being taught by males who are at the top of their game, and women normally go to other women to be taught. Like, yeah. Who taught you how to DJ?
So I was actually quite lucky. So I was at uni.
Yeah.
And I, my friend Subs, who he was at the top of his game, like sick DJ, yeah. like really talented guy. Mm. He was a DJ at a club that I was working at, like promoting for.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to be like a DJ. I've always wanted to do it, but I never knew what I was doing. Mm. So I literally, every Friday night, I would finish promoting and come in and literally just stand there and like watch what he was doing. And then I would be like, can you teach me? And he'd be like, no, Rach, don't have time. And then I'd be like, can you teach me? And he'd be like, no, I don't have time. And I literally pestered him for so long that he was just like, oh, fine, like I'll teach you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
so then, man. Literally, I literally persevered. Like, no, I literally annoyed him so much. Like, it was mad. But anyway, so then, do you know Java in Bristol?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so on a Saturday night before it opened, we would go into Java. Mm. And he would like teach me the basics. I think I only had like 6 lessons with him, just to get the basics, like beat matching and stuff like that. And then I bought myself like a little controller,
yeah, man,
and a MacBook. And I remember thinking, oh my god, like, because I was a student, I didn't have any money, and I was like, ooh. And I've still got my MacBook now, like it's my trusted little MacBook.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And just just practiced at home, like from what he had taught me, and then. Yeah, I just went from there.
Yeah, sick.
And I used to do, like, my first ever residency was Revs in Bristol.
Yeah.
And I used to DJ from, like, 6 o'clock until 2 a.m.
Why?
Whoa. But it was a graft. But...
That is long, isn't it?
It taught me a lot. Do you know what I mean? Because Revs is quite a diverse crowd. Like, I can't go in there and just start playing, like, straight R&B and hip-hop. Yeah. Like, I've got to be playing, like, 80s. It's one of those where you've really got to read the crowd. And I think that... taught me a lot, because now I'm quite good at being able to read a situation and see what I've got to play. So, but yeah, no, I did actually get taught by a male DJ. So
so you broke the mold.
Yeah, well, yeah, this sick. Was what, 5 years ago now.
Yeah, sick.
But I do have other girls coming to me and saying, can you teach me?
Yeah.
And I would love to, like, I would love to set up like a little
workshop,
like workshop, and get like younger girls especially and hopefully one day I'll be able to do it, but right now
it's time, isn't it?
Like, because I'm working and then I'm DJing flat out, like, it's not really feasible, but something I would love to do.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, nice.
It's one of them though, isn't it? It's like you just have to, like, it's getting to the point where it's balancing, where you can kind of just make that transition,
literally,
and, like, be like, take that leap of faith. But it's interesting what you said about the perseverance as well, because it's like every story you hear from like anyone who's doing something,
they keep going.
Yeah. I was listening to The Undertaker on Joe Rogan the other day, and he was saying, like, he was, like, living in his car, and he, like, fucking... He was, like, going to this place every day, like, look, can I do it? And, like, people just walked past him. They walked past him. And he said it was, like, the day before, like, it was, like, 8 months or something he was there, and, like, he was just like, hey, come on in, kid, and just, like, get in the ring. Like, do you know what I mean? It's, but it is. It's that perseverance. It's just showing up, like...
And I think it is about showing up.
Yeah.
Like... Nowadays it's so easy, isn't it, on social media and stuff, to like you said, just drop someone a message. But if you're actually there, and like, I was going to like every night I could that Subs was DJing at, so it was like I was showing up and I was showing that I was there to support. And I think that's really important, like, rather than just expecting it. But and I think it's really important to like expect the knockbacks, like, and if you give up at the first hurdle, especially in the music industry, you've got no hope. Do you know what I mean? Like, because there's so many knockbacks that you get in the music industry, and it's mad. But like, I think you've just got to have that resilience to keep going.
Yeah.
Like, and if you want something, like, if you want something hard enough, then you'll work hard enough for it.
Yeah.
Like, and you'll keep at it. But I think it takes a lot. Do you know what I mean?
It does.
Like, it's mad.
It's like that iceberg like thing, isn't it? It's like people only ever see the tip of the iceberg. They don't see the hours and hours that's like put in before. And it's like you said as well, it's like the showing up. Like if other people can invest their time, like, do you mean time is like the one commodity that we don't have any more of? Like that's the one thing that is equal amongst everyone. And what are you going to invest your time in? And it's like, if someone, why are you going to invest your time in someone who's like, yeah, I want to do that, I want to learn that, and then you do it and then they just like waste your time. Do you know what I mean? It's like so yeah, that thing of showing up and just keep showing up. So like, okay, this person's serious, maybe I'll help them, I'll invest my time in them. Do you know what I mean? It's
yeah, that's definitely important.
Yeah,
100%.
But the thick skin thing as well, it's
when I used to do door to door sales, right, there was this whole concept. It was a bit like a cult, I'm not going to lie. But it was this whole concept that if you knock on 100 doors, 4 people will say yes. And every time you knock on a door and you get a door slammed in your face, you're closer to your yes. And it's kind of true in just in life. Do you know what I mean? That whole thing of persevering. It's like, yeah, they've said no, but you're closer to your next yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
For sure. But I think it takes a lot to... like keep at it and not give up.
Yeah, 100%.
Because there's been times where I've just thought, do you know what, I am tired, like, because it's tiring, like, you put, like, not just like emotionally but like physically as well, like DJing hours on end, it's tiring, like,
especially working a full-time job as
and my full-time job is like, I work for a youth offending team, so it's quite a, like, I work with kids, it's an emotional draining job, like, so it's not like I can just turn up to work after having no sleep and just like sit there and kind of get away with it, like, I have to turn up and actually like do stuff. So yeah, I think,
is there any like avenues with that that you can take, like, because you know, I know you want to do your workshops,
so,
and, like, you're kind of in like the a really great place to
and
to
actually do that. So my job, like, they're sick. They're so flexible with my DJing as well.
Yeah, nice.
But on the provision, so they basically bought me some DJ equipment. So some of the kids I work with, we do DJ lessons with them as part of their court order.
Yeah.
So, like, they'll have to work with me, like, say, for 9 months or whatever. And part of that, we can put a positive activity in around DJing. So... but I have to, it's like, I have to do it with the kids we're working with. It's not, I couldn't just put it out to anyone. But yeah, no, that, I love that part of my job.
Yeah, that's surprisingly, that's really cool.
So is that then, are you dealing with, like, I'm guessing predominantly boys, like young boys?
You'd think so, but not always.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The girls are getting it now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, they love a scrap.
Mind you, I remember seeing that they're saying, and it was like this gang of girls just like attacking some other girls. I was like, oh,
girls can be vicious,
like,
you know. Like, I think the thing is with boys, like, we're going off topic here, but
no, boys, this is
they
good.
Just punch each other once and get it out of their system and move on.
Yeah,
girls, they've got all their hormones, they're a bit emotional, they hold on to things and they have grudges. So when they then see each other again, it just blows up, like, and yeah, some of the stuff I've seen with young girls as well, like, we're talking like 11, 12, wild behavior, like, mad. And they're the ones that I love working with, because I think if we can get you doing something positive and that you can focus on, and a lot of young people love music, like, they love it, like, like you said, like TikTok, anything like that, anything music orientated, they love it. So if I can get them kind of focusing on something like that, I'm onto a winner.
It's like how you focus your energy, innit? It's like, if you've got that natural in you, it's like Jordan Peterson, I was listening to him talk the other day, and he was saying about masculinity and how suppressing aggression is not the answer. And you need to, like, the guys, for example, who've got the most aggression, shouldn't be saying, no, you can't be doing that. It's like, no, you need to work out how to let your aggression serve someone rather than yourself. And that's the difference. When your aggression serves yourself, you're likely to end up in situations where you're going to probably be a criminal. But if you can, like, put yourself and you can take that aggression, you can teach them to be a natural leader of, like, I will use my aggression to do everything to serve everyone around me apart from me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think like that's like martial arts and stuff, I think is great for stuff like that as well. Like to discipline like people like that. But like, but even with music, like channeling aggression, like the grind.
Yeah, 100%.
Drill. Oh, yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like, if you can like put that drum and bass, anything that's kind of just like
high energy.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like if you can like just go there and like shout fucking shit down the pipe, do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah,
well,
like
spiritually get out of your system. Healing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. It's more, it's like, it's so much more than just bars.
Oh,
just
music. I've done quite a bit of work with young people writing their own bars just to get it out there. Because if you think about it, if you're working with a kid that's been arrested and been to court and gone through that whole process, there's a reason why they're behaving like that.
Yeah.
There's always a reason why someone behaves the way they do.
Yeah.
But actually vocalising how you're feeling when you're a teenager is hard. Like, I mean, I'm 29 and I still probably can't vocalise how I'm feeling sometimes. Do you know what I mean? So, like, getting it out on paper in bars, some of the stuff these kids come out with is so insightful. Yeah. Like, it's mad. And then, like, but they're also getting something positive out of it. Because then we can make their own tunes and, like...
I completely relate, mum. I really do relate.
And then, like, we can do work around their identity and, like, all the stuff that we need to get done with them, we can do through being a bit, creative with them rather than just sitting down with a worksheet and being like, so why are you angry? Like, what? Like, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean, though?
That makes people more angry.
Yeah, sure.
Fuck off!
So, typically, like, 10 to 17... Okay, is the age that you would work with up until their 18th birthday, basically.
Right. And it's like, as well, like, it's interesting what you said there, because, like, the whole thing now, like, the more that's being brought to light and about childhood trauma and what childhood trauma does later on in life. So, like, the whole thing with that is, like, half the time when you're in the trauma as a child, you don't realise you're in the trauma. It's not until you become an adult and you, like, think back and go, well, hang on a minute, that was kind of fucked up what happened to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, why is that person acting out how they were? And whilst they're doing it, they don't know why they are. No. And it usually comes later on in life. So if the earlier there is to find an avenue of like, expose yourself. That's why I think meditation and shit like that should be taught in schools.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like reflecting and shit like that, rather than just, you're in detention or like, do you mean it's like, God,
yeah,
like,
right lines.
Do you know what I mean?
It's sit like, down on that nice little comfy pillow and meditate.
Yeah.
And just concentrate on your breath.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I was talking to someone about,
makes sense.
They were talking about schools and they were saying like, there's a school, I think is it called Stoner? And it's like a private school, right? But it's not a private school as in like private school, like let's go down all cronyism type private school. They're like, nah, it's like very like, out there, okay. so you can like say to the teachers like whatever you want, and they won't like punish you for saying it to them. They'll open dialogue with you, and like
it's important
challenge ideas and talk to you. Like they won't be like get out or like it's not. They don't follow the curriculum. It's like you don't have to like be the best at copying or writing this. It's like no, let's explore ideas. Let's like, do you mean it's like why are you being like this? Why are you feeling like this? And it's okay. There's no, we're not going to judge you because of it. It's like, do you mean it's like,
yeah,
it's important, man.
Yeah, teaching really people important. To be open and honest, like, and it's hard. Like, do you mean it's like, and we do like suppress so much, and like I say,
especially so. This country.
Yeah, for sure. It's like that expectation, isn't it? Yeah. Like. It's like a British thing, like you just don't talk about things.
Yeah.
Like, you accept your situation.
Yeah.
Even if it's shit.
Yeah. And you just kind of get on with it. But actually, I think...
Just ignore the white elephant over there.
Yeah.
Carry on moving forward.
Yeah. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it's that.
Yeah. And like, having a young child at school now, like, it's heartbreaking watching them go to school. And everything you put in for those first 5 years or first 4 years, and it just gets drummed out of them. Like the confidence you gave them, like, do you mean, or not you gave them, but like you encouraged or like guided, or everything that you like molded, it's like then gets like just punished and like wrenched out. And then he's like, do you mean it's like they're coming home with like homeless, like spelling, it's like putting them in test scenarios. It's like everyone sit here, be quiet. And these are like 5-year-olds and they're telling them to be quiet, they can't speak, and they're like putting them in proper test environments. It's like, they're fucking five. Yeah, like, they're
yeah. like, literally. Yeah. Let them live.
Get yeah. them programmed, you know what I mean? Ready for the future, man, where they get told what to do at all times. It's wild. Sad, man.
Yeah, it is. It's sad. But yeah, music helps those kids a lot. Like, yes. And I love being able to help them to do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're like in a great role for it. I mean, like especially now, like it's, there are with the lack of youth clubs, the lack of funding.
Yeah, trust me, it's mad.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, then you think like, could the prevention of half of what some of these people, if they've had these places to go, or they could have channeled what you're doing. So if you're helping them write bars, what if they had somewhere before their offences?
Yeah, literally.
Or they could go there, they could do that and channel that.
It's, yeah, we were quite lucky, man. Like, growing up when we did, I think.
Yeah.
Having those youth clubs to go and record at and spin music.
Well, sort of like that sort of period. It was, we had like, we were under a Labour government.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so there was more like funding for the arts, but like as soon as the Tories are in, they just...
it just becomes it's irrelevant. Austerity,
isn't it? Well,
it's
like, nothing,
isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, well, it's like the last year, isn't it? Like, if you look how the arts have been dealt with in this pandemic.
Yeah.
Wild.
Like, go and get another job, he said.
Yeah.
And
retrain.
The amount of money that industry fucking pulls in. Because it's like everyone just thinks, oh, yeah. A lot of the public who aren't involved in it, they just think, like, the DJ on stage or the band on stage or whatever. It's like, no. You're talking bar staff. You're talking fucking...
security
like,
staff.
Everything. Yeah. Do you mean it's still... you're employing so many people.
Yeah. And nightclubs, theatres, places like that, they make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they do. And they've just been, like, dashed to the side and just forgotten about. Yeah. Like, it's irrelevant.
Mm.
Actually, like, it's wild how they've been treated.
It's like, England is the hub for, like, music and everything as well.
Yeah.
Like... and we're getting least funded. Like in Germany, they announce like funds for all these museums and everything. They got like billions and billions pumped into them. In the UK, you don't really get anything.
No.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But hopefully, they'll come back stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you doing like live streams or at all?
I did at the beginning of lockdown, but obviously, like, I was still working the whole way through this pandemic. I've not stopped working. Mm. So I was just kind of doing my radio mixes.
Yeah.
I kind of switched my focus to radio rather than the live streams.
Makes sense.
And then I managed to get my own radio show, so that was like amazing because it was something that I'd wanted to do for ages. So that was kind of my main focus.
Yeah.
Was just getting the mixes out to send to people, like getting demos out to people. I did a few live streams and I loved them at the beginning because like everyone was genuinely like stuck in, weren't they?
Yeah.
And we went into lockdown the night before my birthday. Cheers, Boris. twice as well. Can you imagine? I've been in lockdown for 2 birthdays now. Savage. Yeah. But so I did like a birthday live stream and stuff like that. And that was actually like, it was a good vibe. Like it was fun. But yeah, I don't know. And I'll be honest, I lost a bit of motivation. Over the lockdown period, I did start to think, like, shall I carry on DJing, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't until my radio, stuff picked up that I thought, actually, no, I love this. Like, this is what I love doing. Because when you're not doing it, you do, like, it's, like, out of sight, out of mind, isn't it? Like, forget. It's all very well, like, doing live streams and stuff, but it's the interaction that you get with people that... is making it like the buzz. So I did start to lose
motivation.
Very
much play off the crowd reaction.
Do you know what it is? No, it's not even that. Like, I just love being in that environment, like with the loudspeakers, like the dark club, like the lighting, like, and I do love the reaction of the crowd, like any DJ does. And but I love music, but obviously when I'm at home, I've got to think about my neighbours, like, do you know what I mean? I can't be blasting out music because I've got neighbours with kids or and things like that that I've got to be thinking, oh, like, I've got to turn it down. So, and I think it's just, we didn't know when it was going to end, did we? Like, we didn't have like a date to work towards where I could think, okay, like, I'm going to be back in the clubs here like this date, so I'm going to be doing my thing, like, and I'll be getting my name out there and stuff. Like, I was like, well, I don't know when this is going to...
it's going to end.
End. So I just got a bit, like, I can't be bothered. And yeah. I think a lot of DJs felt the same. Like, it was hard to be creative.
Do you know many that have quit?
Well, I don't... Well, it's hard. Like, obviously, we've gone back to DJing to some extent.
Yeah, sort of.
But it's weird, isn't it?
It's
a weird vibe.
It's
like,
weird. It's just annoying because people are like, can you turn it up?
Yeah.
Not really.
Is why? There is why can't you turn it? Is it because they've got like a certain decibel?
So the first thing in. No. So the
you well, can the have first the music time we did, loud. Didn't it?
Yeah, but this one you can do what you want, but
we have neighbours.
We've got neighbours,
okay.
Right, and they hate us.
Yeah, which I don't neighbors. Understand. Why? Yeah. Why would they live above a club?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's not even like they moved in.
Do you know what I mean?
Before they moved in after.
That's the been club there. Like,
it's been a club for
like,
years.
Yeah, like Babylon. I remember when it's Babylon.
And then like, going there like that, yeah, and like all these other. It's always
Bath
been
Rock
a club.
Was called yeah. up at one point, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it's always been there, like, a club. So
yeah,
but it's more to do with the fact of the reaction of people, because people can't. When we first opened, right? To 1 o'clock on a Saturday, everyone sat down. You could go out there, say there's like four groups of people, someone could drop a glass, everyone would turn around, they look at it and they carry on. As soon as it gets to like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, if you drop a glass,
it's if you so play true.
Beyonce, everyone's singing. It just gets too much, like, and then it's really difficult to control, and then people go, why can't we do this? We've been locked up. And it's like, literally, our jobs have become, like, my job has become basically a cock block and
literally.
A party pooper.
Literally.
Like, I've got to go over and go, guys, you got to be quiet. Can you sit down? You're not allowed to talk to her.
Yeah.
It's dead. Like, but this one, actually, I'm not going to say that. This one's better, though. This one's better than the last time. Because yeah. the last time it was a lot more serious.
Well, the last time we had... like a sound limit,
mm-hmm.
like, and I'm not even joking, I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, it was pointless.
I said to you guys, didn't I? I was like, it's pointless us being here.
Like background music.
No, it wasn't
no,
even
less
that.
Than that.
It
less
was
than
less
that.
Than that. Like, and it was, we were all really grateful because obviously, like, Roscoe was giving us work and we wanted to get back out there. But at the same time, we were feeling almost bad because we were like, you're paying us and no one can even hear this. Mm. Like, we're literally having like a little jamming sesh to ourselves.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But no, like, obviously, like, people are getting back out there, but it's hard to tell. I think until things open up properly, then we'll see if people are actually like,
yeah,
going back to it or not. Like,
I think
people
will.
Are.
I think people
well, I don't know. I guess it's just the kind of people I speak to, maybe. But like, because I'm sure there's probably still a lot of nervous people out there as well.
Yeah, man.
Oh, mate, if you well. I've been in town a few days. I'm walking around town. Mate, like, I was like, I'll pop in H&M quickly, get a t-shirt for work, a little plain t-shirt or whatever. And I went to walk in and a guy was like, nah, mate. I was like, what? I was like, what are you all queuing for? Well, we're all waiting to get in H&M. They're queuing down the block.
Mad.
Yeah.
It is mad.
It's really stupid. It's like a certain amount of people in the shop, but then people have stood like that far away from
literally.
It's sad because I know that the day that they all opened and they had the trouble in Bristol at Primark, didn't they? And they were saying
Primark.
It's like what? Troubles. Like, for a start, I think that these cheap clothing places should.
They're bad news anyway.
They should be bad anyway because, like, they just make shit clothes and people that are making them are fucking really underpaid and like.
Slavery.
Yeah.
Slavery country.
Child labor.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, so. And, like, did you really put that much weight on in lockdown that you had to, as soon as the shop's open, you had to get into Primark? Like, what do you mean? Like,
6 o'clock in the morning they were there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At Primark.
Yeah.
Go and on, that my Primarni soldiers.
Like,
do
mad.
Your thing.
Madness.
And the thing is, it's like, I've had clothes from Primark in the past. And you wear it once
and it's done.
Fucking out of shape. It's like, what?
Yeah, it goes through the wash once and it's done.
Yeah, it's fucked, isn't it? It's just pointless. Like.
It's just that fast fashion, isn't it? It's
yeah.
just. Mm. Yeah, but.
That's the problem. It's not sustainable. So it's waste, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
you're in Italy, you got like fucking some poor bird in fucking Delhi in some like proper sweatshop factory, like,
yeah,
on like
nothing,
$4 a day, like no sex pay. Yeah, you know what I mean?
People don't think that though, do they?
No,
that's the problem.
That's the trouble. I think that's the trouble as humans. It's really hard to like be that conscious all the time of what you're doing, and it's like,
oh yeah, because you don't see it.
No, yeah,
it's out of way, out of thought.
It's like people that eat meat; they don't think about how, you know, how that pig got to that plate.
Yeah. You know? Well, they've had it before. It's like I've watched children in interviews, and they're like, "Where does an apple come from?" And they're like, "The supermarket." Like, where does it? No, where does it come from? They're like, "The supermarket." Like,
yeah.
No, but like, where does it come from? The supermarket, and they've got no like idea that it's growing on a tree.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I remember there was another one I watched. It was the kids in America, and they was showed how the chicken nuggets were made in McDonald's, and they showed what was made up. And they're like, "Would you eat it again?" They're like, "Yep."
Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, there was a whole thing like about that, like, wasn't it?
Yeah. You're not allowed to say his name anymore, right? Because he did jerk rice and peas. And they upset the black
five. 5 minute mark, by the way, you've got 5 minutes.
5 minutes left?
Yeah.
Alright, let's not talk about Jamie Oliver.
Yeah. let's not go there.
He upset us. About jerk for rice and peas. Idiot.
I feel like that's a topic for another day, mate.
Yeah, I think I might speak to Elliot about that.
Get him on.
What, Jamie Oliver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gone, man. He ain't got no restaurants left. They're all gone.
No, he hasn't.
Has he not? They shut down in the pandemic.
I don't know, like the one in Bath shut down ages ago.
Yeah, the one in Bath.
They went into administration. Yeah. It's just no one's going in there.
We've just carried on about Jamie Oliver.
Moving on.
I said I didn't want to talk about him.
Right,
yeah.
4 minutes left.
4 minutes left.
Mm.
Time Man.
Flies.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, do you know what we forgot to do? What we were supposed to do? The first question was supposed to be asked, I guess.
Yeah.
Is, what's three good things that happened to you today?
Oh. I had a lie-in, which was really needed.
Yeah, nice.
I went out yesterday and I didn't wake up with a hangover, so that was amazing. And one of the artists, Zion Foster, that I put in my Capital Extra mix, actually messaged me and thanked me for putting him on the mix. And he's got like 265,000 followers on Instagram, and there's me with like 2,000, and he's thanking me, and I'm like, no, thank you for making it.
See, but that's good though. So that's going back to what we were talking about earlier. Yeah.
And that was
like, please, thank you. Yeah. Do you mean like never get too?
No. Yeah.
Do you mean it's like?
And it was actually, I proper appreciated that because I thought actually you've listened to it and you've taken your time to actually find my page.
Yeah.
And say thank you, like
fair play. Because it's it is. It can be so easy to like drift away with the ego, but it's like no, I always come back to that.
Yeah.
That
humbling. Fully.
It's like no, appreciate everyone on the journey. And I think as well, it's like one, you got a lot of people, unless they're complete assholes. They were always where you were, where you are at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And then the last question is, what is your personal meaning of life?
Just to be happy, I think, and to be a good person. But I like to know that I'm being the best person that I can be.
That's
and
good.
I'm not being like a dick, basically. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I always want to be, like, I want to look back at life and think, actually, yeah, I was a good person. Doesn't
a
matter.
Good set of morals.
Yeah, like, it doesn't really, like, obviously, I work hard, and I like working hard, and I like achieving things, but as long as I can look back and think, yeah, I looked out for the people around me.
Yeah.
And made sure that everyone was good, then I've done my job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
nice.
Family,
nice.
Friends.
You must think a lot about, like, what if I was in that person's shoes? Like, what would
all the time. Mm. And I think it does ground you a lot. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're working in a job like that, where you are working with people that have a really rough time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, I work with kids that have gone through unbelievable, like, things you wouldn't even think of.
Yeah.
And it puts everything into perspective. Like, if I've had a bad day, I just sit there and I think to myself, have I had a bad day? Really?
Yeah.
I've got a house, I've got family, I've got food to eat.
The other thing with the bad day thing as well, it's like, did I have a bad day,
or did I have moment.
Like 30 seconds in that day which I let define me? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. And I think that really helps, like, my mindset, because I don't let things like get me to that extent, because it's like you said, like, it's not, I don't have a bad life. Something bad happened, but that happens to people all the time.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just how you deal with it and move on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, so,
do you meditate or anything to like help catch those kind of things? Or you?
Yeah,
just...
no, I have done meditation. My mum's a life coach, so she's very on it with.
Do you reckon she'd be interested in coming on? Because I was going to say to Oscar, I wouldn't mind getting a life coach on.
Oh yeah, I'll ask her.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, I'll definitely speak to her about it. She'd love that. She's she's literally the most positive minded person you will ever come across. Like, it's literally mad. Like, she's lush. She gives off this like vibe to everyone.
Yeah, rude. Yeah, yeah, like, let's get her on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll speak to her.
Yeah, make it happen, Rich.
All right, I've got awesome. You.
Thank you for being our first guest.
How many for having me?
Yeah, wicked. Yeah, that's been good.
Safe.
Thank you very much.
Safe. Thanks for coming on, Rich.
I've got to go and watch Line of Duty now. What time's it on? 9 o'clock?
What,
is that a bit like Heartbeat?
What season is it in on now?
Is it?
Third?
No, it's got to be more than that.
No, there's, well, because there's like a few on Netflix.
I loved it. I loved it.
What is it?
It's like a police.
It's like a police program.
It's like a mix of like Sherlock Holmes with like police.
So if you walk up to,
like, no, not Sherlock Holmes. What's Sherlock?
The one with Cumberbatch. I've seen some of the episodes.
Walk past it.
I watched the double saying that I was.
You'll see like a red brick.
I didn't take the time on it, and then I seen that I was at work, and some bloke was watching the mess. I was like, "Fucking hell, this is alright." Actually, there's a new one actually on Netflix. And called, and it's Watson, Dr. Watson's in it, but Sherlock's not in it. And it's a, and it's like almost like supernatural type stuff going on. Looks good. I can't remember what's called.
Hey, what, a new Sherlock?
A new show on Netflix, but it's Dr. Watson from Sherlock's in it, and then there's like a group of kids in it, and like one's like seeing some supernatural shit.
Okay.
Wait, has everyone signed off? Have you said goodbye to the camera?
Yeah. This is just like nonsense chat now.
Stop recording for
Ellie's
safe
here now, anyway. So. Well,